Y'all know Simba, like on the Lion King, you know what I'm talking about? You know, what happened when Simba was moving really, really slow? They said, Mufasa, Mufasa. Anyway, Mufasa. Yeah, I also tried last week to walk like an Egyptian, you know how the whole thing? Had to call a chiropractor. Oh, man. Son said to his dad, he said, Dad, the teacher was talking about cloning today, and I don't have a clue what they're talking about. He said, that makes two of us. If a pig loses his voice, is he disgruntled? I'm just asking. You know, I don't know. Okay, y'all bear with me, all right? It's Father's Day. It's the only shot I get all year to do this, okay? So, got thrown out of a park the other day. I was in a park over here, and I was arranging the squirrels by height, you know, from the highest to the tallest to shortest. They threw me out of the park for critter sizing. What do you get when you cross an elephant with a skin doctor? You get a pack of dermatologists. Did y'all hear that NASA sent 20 cows into orbit? Did y'all hear that? 20 cows. It was a herd shot around the world. All right. Y'all think about that one and get it later on. If you don't know your history, you have no clue what I'm talking about on that one. All right. Yeah, I'm shaking all over because I was a little nervous about all those little crazy jokes. But I get those every day. Do I now?
You should have been.
Yeah, I should have been. That's exactly right. That's right. That's right. Not a comedian, but anyway. Man, it's a blessing to have you guys, as Caleb said. Just met, right as I was coming in to get up here on the kit, I mean, just met people coming in that are brand new to our church. We love you guys. Glad you're here. It's cool that in Christ you can see people you've never met before and say, hey, man, I love you, and really mean it. We really mean that, and so we appreciate you being here. I'm going to get right in the Word today. Before I do, I want you to, if you got a worship guide when you came in, if you'll open up, pull out, there's a page in there that's full of blanks. And all the note takers went, oh, man, no blanks to fill in. So what I want you to do today is something different, because I'm doing something different today than I've ever done in nearly 40 years of ministry. I'm not going to tell you what that is. But I want you today to make your own notes. And not to take notes in the sense of, okay, I got to tell everything he says. I want you to listen. Listen to what Holy Spirit is saying today. And move upon that. For some of you, that may be a little comfortable. How do I listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm still learning, so I'm growing in that. And trying to learn about what he's trying to communicate to me. And today, for me, is actually an exercise. I don't know if you guys have caught it yet, but 3 weeks ago, we had an anointing service. It went fantastic. And I would like, if you would, if you feel comfortable telling me, I would like to hear some testimonies about that. Because I know things have happened because people have shared stories amongst one another. But I think it's powerful that we're able to give testimony about what God's doing in our life, like in the moment, okay? Here's the thing. I need to hear it. I need to hear that. And so if you don't have my cell number or whatever, find somebody in this church. They'll give it to you, and you can put that. You can just text it to me. Hey, this is what happened. Somebody prayed over me, and this is what God did. And for those of you who, like me, are still waiting on certain miracles to happen, I want you to pray into that and really believe the Holy Spirit is trying to move in our lives. He's wanting to be released in our lives to live and to move. And so do that if you would. But in your notes today, if you don't have a notes page, if you didn't get one, if we ran out, we've got 160 people in here, or 360, somewhere between those two numbers. I'm serious about this. I want you to write down thoughts you have, things that come to your mind, things that God puts on your heart as I'm speaking today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. It'll be on screen. It's obviously not in your notes. You don't have it. So if you have your Bible on phone or your Bible in hand or whatever, and you want to pull the Bible out and even make notes in your Bible, if you have a real Bible, like, you know, the books with pages and stuff, if you underline and mark things, you will love that 10 years down the road, some years down the road, going back and looking, hey, what was I thinking that particular day? And it'll bless your Bible study. So that's how we're going to do things today. At the end of the message, you're going to be invited to come and pray with our prayer team who will be up here. And I want to encourage you, as Caleb already has, to step out and do that based upon what you're going to hear from Word today, okay? So last week, 3 weeks ago was the, or maybe it was 2 weeks, I don't know, a few weeks ago, we had anointing service. And then the next week, that was last week, so I preached on really a prayer that I pray every day. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3. This series, Emily, is about to become like a Ephesians series, it seems like. It feels that way. So we kind of canned what we had planned to do because I just felt led to do something different. And so we talked last week about Ephesians 3 and 4 to 19. There's a prayer that Paul prays. We do four things in that. First, we learned that we were empowered by Holy Spirit to have inner strength. How many of you need some inner strength today to be willing to raise your hand and say, I need some right now for what's going on in my life? God says, if you pray, Jesus said it, if you pray in my name, you'll get it. And he said, if you can give good gifts to your kids and I'm God, then you ask for Holy Spirit and you will have Holy Spirit. Asking, y'all know, you know, it's not like, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you? Come on, y'all, let's move. Let's move for God in that. So we're empowered by inner strength. Number two, we learned last week that we have Jesus dwelling in our, I learned last week from, Connor told me, I was going to tell you, Connor said, you know, indwelt is not a word. And I said, no, but it's the past tense of indwell. And I just made it up. It is really not a word. He pointed that out. But you understand what I'm saying. Well, Christ made his home in my heart. And by the way, Connor and I have that kind of relationship. We can, he does that to me all the time. So, hey, did you say this? Did you say that? We break open scripture a lot together. So we learned that we have Christ living. As indwelling means he's living. He's set up, taking up residence in us. And then he said, be rooted in the love of God. So you've got Holy Spirit giving you inner strength. You've got Jesus living in your heart. You've got the rooted, your roots are growing down deep into the love of God. So that at the end of that last text, in chapter 3, the last two verses, he says that we can understand that God can do more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. What is that? What is that power that's at work within us? How did I miss this all these years, Caleb? How did I just skip over that? We observe the Passover, by the way, in Scripture a lot, don't we? We see a verse. I don't know what that means, so I just pass over and go to the next one. And we just we skip things all the time and little things. Can I just encourage you? If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you need the Word. You can't be a disciple of Christ without the Word. And I'm not going to overboard that like we used to say, is that the Holy Spirit is only in the Word, but Holy Spirit's going to drive you to his Word. He's not going to tell you anything that's not in his Word. Amen. So learn some words so that he can do anything more than you can ask or imagine according to his power. All glory be to him, right? It's what he says at the end of that text. So we come to our text today in chapter 4, and the first word is therefore. And when you see a therefore, you have to ask your question, what's it there for, right? What is it there for? It is there because you just got through saying all those things, and you want God to do more than you can ask or imagine. There's some things that go along with all of that. And so we're going to read text today and just observe as we move forward. Y'all ready for some word? It'll be on screen, as I said, but if you want to follow along on your own, this is the New Living Translation I'm reading from, okay? And so Paul says, therefore, since all that is true, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, that's why he was in jail, because he was serving Jesus, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. You know, if we left this thing in a spiritual world where Holy Spirit comes in to just do things, he just does things for and in and through us, that's all great and wonderful, but Paul's going to immediately drive us back to things that change our lives. He says, Lord, I beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God, and we could speak an hour on that. We're not going to. This whole text today, 1 to 16, we could literally do weeks and weeks and weeks on, but I'm not going to do that today. I want to find the things there that he's trying to get us to understand overall today. There's going to be two words. It's the title of your message. It's in your notes. It's unity and maturity. You're going to hear that all through here. And so he says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. There's that word love again. So how many of you know that everybody around you is a human and they will mess up? And they will mess up toward you. And you will get your feelings touched about some things, even if you don't have feelings. I've learned that people who don't have many feelings, they did a lot of things on the inside that they never let come out on the outside. Me, my feelings are right here, man. You're going to know what I feel. You'll know what I think, probably. And that's scary. And I think both of those extremes are difficult to deal with. But he's saying here that if you want to let God move in your life like he wants to, let's take some humility and gentleness, patience with one another. And when someone says something to offend you, if your first reaction is, I will bolt and run from that person, I will bolt and run from that church, I will bolt, whatever church you find is going to have more people in it, and you're going to find somebody over there to bolt and run from. And we have to turn our lives around. He tells us how to do that. He says, verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united. There's that unity word. That was our word for 24. Our word for this year is light. He says, keep yourselves united in the spirit. Everybody say binding. Binding. The word for binding there is literally a band. It's like taking several drumsticks. If you want to hold several drumsticks in a bundle, they come wrapped. They're wrapped. They're all brought. They're one bundle of 24 sticks or 12 or whatever the number is. It, it, It's bound together. That's what God's doing us. Holy Spirit, united in Him, is binding us together. He puts us in a place where, oh, I don't even think like that anymore. You offended me? It's okay, because I understand tomorrow I may offend you, but we got to work together, and we got to grow together. So He's saying, make every effort to keep yourselves united, binding yourselves together with peace. And God knows in our world right now we need some peace. We need peace in our world, people loving each other instead of shooting each other and hurting one another and calling out things for one another. And just, we live in such an argumentative, crazy kind of world. And this whole calling right here is so central to what we need to understand about our lives. Why? He says, for there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope of the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and in living through you guys, through you all. So here's the thing. Man, I've seen this passage just picked and picked and picked apart. We could preach for hours just on those few verses right there, the oneness and the ones that are around God. But look at the big picture. He's saying, if you want to be gentle and humble and kind and treat one another better, unified in the Spirit, bound by peace that comes from the Spirit, understand that you get that from God. He's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's saying the oneness of ourselves is important. So much so that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one in purpose and mind and everything that they are. And so He's calling us. He's trying to say, I'm showing you by who I am that you need to be one. And then He switches gears. He says, however, He has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. He turns it to gifts. What's up with that? The idea of coming into this idea of doing what you're called to do, bound by the peace of the Spirit, knowing that God is one, but I've given you several different gifts. And before He gets to the gifts, He gives us a little parenthetical illustration here that, as I've read and studied this week, that a lot of people argue about. A lot of people don't really know some of the things He's trying to say here. But I think I found a key to what He's overall trying to say. Do you hear me trying to be sweeping over this text today and not in the every minute detail of the word? He gives this illustration. Christ has given all these gifts based on His generosity. That is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the highest, this is from Psalm 68:18, by the way, he's quoting this, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to people. It's like, where is He getting this? And Paul himself doesn't get bogged down into the gifts just yet, but he says, notice that it says He ascended. Y'all remember what happened, don't you? You guys who know your Bible, remember what happened. Jesus descended, came to the earth, lived a life perfectly, died on the cross, buried, and on the third day, what did He do? He arose. It's not a trick question. He rose up out of the grave, and the disciples watched Him be carried away, ascended back into heaven. And so He says, notice that He says ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens. And there's a so that. When you see a so that, it's like a therefore. Why? What is the thing about ascension and descension and all those things? All He's saying is that Jesus, who was God, Scripture says that, Philippians chapter 2, emptied Himself of His deity and came to this earth and felt pain and suffered and was ridiculed and was tempted in every way like we are, so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. There's only one way Jesus could fill the entire universe with Himself, and that's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If Jesus were still a human walking on, He said it's better that I go away. If He were still a human on this earth and you wanted to make an appointment to talk to Jesus, you'd have to probably get on a plane, fly right now where you don't want to go, to Tel Aviv, get out, rent a truck or car and drive over to Galilee and find Him, which wouldn't be hard to do because there'd be several hundred thousand of us standing in line waiting to talk to Him and trying to figure out what questions we wanted to ask. And by the time you got to Him, you know, you got to camp out 3 or 4 months waiting in line to go see Him. It would be impossible if He had 14 hours a day for Jesus to see everybody. But He said, if I go away, I will send you a parakaleo. Those are Greek words. Aren't you impressed? Para meaning right beside. Kaleo called. Jesus, I'm going to call Holy Spirit. He's going to come right beside you. It's not only going to, it's where we get our word paraclete, which is something that attaches to something else. And because of Holy Spirit, everybody at the same time on the entire planet can talk to God because of who Holy Spirit is in our life. Come on, somebody ought to be at least saying something right there. You know why we don't say something right there? You're probably like I was a long time for my life. We don't understand what you're, it's so foreign to what we're thinking. I know how to talk to God. I know how to talk through Christ, but talking to Holy Spirit, who most people call a Holy Ghost, what is that? Listen, I'm preaching a series in two. One's going to be discipleship. The other one's going to be Holy Spirit. It's going to be dynamite. I cannot wait to get to it. But he's saying here that if Christ is going to fill the world up with himself, he does it by that power. And so what he does also to fill up the world is he brought me and you into the picture. Because he goes on to say, here's the gifts. And the whole ascension, descension thing, let me just step back and say, all that I think is saying is that Jesus has the authority to do what you need to do in your life. He carries the authority. How? Through the power of Holy Spirit. When you pray and you talk and you pray into those things, like in Jesus' name, the headache my wife has right now has to go. I'm tired of migraines in her head. It's got to go, and I got to speak to it because Jesus gave me the authority to say those things and watch him move. And that's the part that I'm working on is my belief and my push and my forward faith. You say, well, how are you a pastor? You don't have a struggle with belief because I'm a man too. Who's got a lot of unlearning to do. I got some Yoda-isms in my life. I have to unlearn what I have learned in order to learn what God wants me to know. Oh, man, there's so much I saw this week. I don't have time to tell you. It's incredible. But he says here, these gifts that Christ gave the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, I've heard this taught all my life, and people break it down and try to make the... And there are some details here that we need to not miss. But just for now, just think about all of those. He says, don't worry about the actual gifts. Are there apostles today? Are there pastors today? Are there, we just ask all these crazy questions, and we miss the point. The point is their responsibility. What's the responsibility of leadership in the church right now? You're about to hear it. He says it is to equip. Everybody say equip. And the word equip here actually means to mend. Generally something broken. One commentary I read said that the mending here is like they would mend the nets after they would go fishing. They would have to fix everything that broke because they were pulling on them so hard and all those things. They mend the nets to get them ready to go out and do what God called them to do. Isn't that just like God? He's saying, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to help you go out and mend God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I'm not called, I do the work, but as a pastor, my calling is to help you do the work. And then we've got all kinds of leadership structure and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that we teach around here is leadership is influence and nothing else. We get that from John Maxwell. That means that whether you're a team lead or divisional lead or pastor or worship lead, whatever it is that you are, if you're serving on the dream team, if you're standing handing out worship guides, if you're doing whatever you're doing, there are no little things. And God has gifted us not just to do what we do in this building, but if you're walking through the store and the Holy Spirit unctions your heart to go talk to somebody, don't miss that. You say, but I don't know what to say. God said, you don't have to know what to say. I'll tell you what to say. And if you're steeped up in the word like you and I need to be, it'll just come, it just falls out of me sometimes. I go, whoa, where did that come from? Oh, I read that last week in the Bible. I read that in the Old Testament. You said, got to bring it all together. We have to start trusting him to do this. Because if we don't, what happens is we say, well, I can't be a pastor, so I guess I can't do anything. I can't be a worship leader. I guess I'll just go sit in the church. If you're just here to sit in the church and not do anything, you're probably going to be uncomfortable after a while. Because all we talk about is get on a team. Today is step three of impact. As soon as we leave here, we'll go back to this room back here and talk about that and open up all kinds of opportunities for people to serve. It's up to us to be able to carry the work. Isn't it awesome that God gave us the responsibility to equip each other? How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How? Through the authority of Christ. He just said, why? Because they are one. God is one. There's one God. He's with us to be one. Why? So that we can keep the unity, the spirit, the bond of peace, and be humble and gentle and kind and treat each other right. Did you hear what I just did? This is a technique I want you to listen. This is something I've learned just in the last couple of years, is reading the Bible backwards. Get to the end of the chapter and go, what did he just say? And start retracing your steps. And you will find so much truth, man. It's so inspiring. It's so wonderful. Verse 13 says this. This will continue. What will continue? apostles and prophets and teachers and preachers, all those things. We'll continue doing that, equipping the church, mending brokenness and moving through the world until something happens. Until something happens. We're going to keep working until something happens. He says, until the unity in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God will be mature in the Lord. Did you hear the words? That's two words right out of the title of the message today. He's wanting us to continue to support and equip one another to do the work that God called us to do in order that the unity of our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we will be mature in the Lord. Here's what happens so often. People come, like Braylee a few weeks ago came and she was baptized. And she's kind of starting her spiritual journey. And so often, Braylee, and I want this to happen. It's not going to happen to you because you've got a mama and family and you got this church. We're going to help you not do this. But oftentimes we just say, okay, that's it. Man, I'm in. And guess what? You are. It's okay to say I'm in. It's okay to say heaven's mine.
That's right.
But don't you want to grow up?
Yep.
We got so many Peter Pans in the church. I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid the rest of my life. Some of us have been in the church. I will just raise my hand and say I grew up in a church that I love so much because it gave me such a foundation and a basis in the Word. But, y'all, I stayed in the elementary things. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 says it. Says it. That's, go on beyond laying on of hands and baptism and those things that you've been talking about for some. Move past that. Grow up. Mature. If you're still cussing today as bad as you were when you came into Christ, something's wrong. That's next week, by the way. Yeah, I'm going to talk about cussing next week. May not be anybody come back. I don't know. But that's just an illustration. If you're not a better husband because of Jesus, then something's wrong. If you're not growing in this. And listen, Mike and I were talking about this beforehand. Let me make this point now. I'm going to try to remember to make it at the end. Don't leave here today and say, man, Pastor Key, man, just laid it out there. This is hard, and I can't do all these things. No, you can't today. But you can do one more thing today than you weren't doing yesterday. Or you can stop doing something you were doing yesterday that you don't want to do again. You can move one step at a time. God's not expecting us to just say, okay, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and all of a sudden we're disciples. He didn't even expect that of the guys that he blew the Holy Spirit on. I mean, they're standing on the day of Pentecost and saying, hey, is this when the kingdom's going to happen, Lord? And he said, oh, man, I'm about to baptize you guys in the Holy Spirit because that's the only way you're going to figure it out. And he does, and the world was changed because of it. Y'all, listen, we're sitting poised, waiting on the power of the Spirit to come so that we can mature. He says, look what he says, not just mature, but measure up to the full and complete standard of who Christ is. That is a hard pill to swallow because I can't be like Christ. That, the Greek word for you can't be like Christ is hogwash. Y'all understood that Greek word, didn't you? To say to Jesus, well, I just can't be like you. I just can't do like you. That is such a cop-out. And the reason we say that is because we're missing the very power that God's given inside of us. He says you get him. But baptism, you get him when you ask for him. Holy Spirit coming and doing this. We just skip all that stff. Take a step today. Why don't you take a step of acceptance today? Just one. I didn't know about this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm stepping into. About 2 years ago, I didn't know what I was stepping to either, but I just stepped. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, he has helped me face life and the hardest stuff. And I'm just beginning to really fall in love with him. I really am. And we forget he's a person. I don't want to preach that sermon in that series now. I want to come back to that. I just love him. He says, if you do this, you measure to the complete standard of Christ, he said, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed around and blown by every wind of new teaching. Any new teachings around in our culture right now, y'all? Any new stuff you're hearing that you go, ooh, that don't sound right. It don't sound right because it ain't right in the Southern vernacular. It's not right. He says that we're tossed around by every wind of new teaching. And we will not be influenced. He says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You think for a moment that these people who don't believe in God are just dumb people. They're not dumb people. They're misled. They're wrong. They're lost. But they're not dumb. Many of the atheists that you run into will know the Bible better than you do. And if that's the truth, you are in trouble. That's why we have to know what we're going to say before we get there. And when we don't know what to say, we just say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say, but you're going to give it to me because you promised us. It's so weird, y'all. I went to see Kansas 38 Special and Jefferson Starship last night. If you don't know who that is, you just missed out on some music. I'm just saying. And this guy walks by me. He's got a long beard. He looked Amish. I said, I can't be Amish if he's here, probably. I don't know. Maybe Amish people love 38 Special. I don't know. But he walks by me, and he just starts talking to me. He's like, hey, whatever. And we found out he's from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, won the tickets to be at the concert. His wife was just kind of sitting over like this because she's not a big concert person. And how do I know all this stuff? Because me and this guy that I've never met before in my life, his name is Chad Franklin. He lives in Lawrenceburg. And you know what we found out? We're both believers. And he said, when I walked by you, he said, I just sensed that. Wow. That's humbling, by the way. That's a blessing, though. Don't you want when people walk by you, they just sense that Jesus is around? The Holy Spirit's in the room? Yep. Something different and powerful is around. They can't even explain it. But we discovered that. I told Liz after he walked away, I looked at her, I said, how many times you go to a Kansas 38 Special concert and talk about Jesus? There was a lot of people there that needed to hear about Jesus. I'll tell you that. But it's just a beautiful moment. I think this is what this is talking about, this whole concept here, this unity and maturity in faith. As we mature in faith, you're going to be able to sense and know the things that are around you that are of Christ, and you're going to know for sure the things that are not of Christ. So bless our young people. You guys that are young, little guys. Hey, our kids are in here, by the way, this morning. Can we say hey to our kids? We love you guys. We love it. You guys are in an environment where you're going to learn, you're going to grow, you're going to learn things you never, ever, what does that mean? You got parents and people that are trying to help you all around. But listen, learn this. You can't believe everything everybody tells you.
That's right.
Don't do it. Even if it sounds right and you know it's not, talk to somebody that you can talk to about that. Hey, Holy Spirit, and I love what Brett says about Holy Spirit. There is no junior Holy Spirit. We don't teach him some way, and we teach adults other ways. Just teach your kids about who he is and let them learn and grow, and they'll probably outwalk you sometimes. Our culture's messed up, you guys. And if we don't unify ourselves in the Spirit, have the humility and love for people and for ourselves, for each other, why would somebody want to come be a part of a belief that led people to fight about stuff all the time? I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, we're going to disagree. Me and Chad last night found a couple of things we didn't actually agree on while we were talking. But I left with a brother in Christ. We didn't have to agree on all those things. That's it. Bill Downs says it all the time. Make the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Man, that's good. That's about 65% better than y'all reacting. I'll tell you. I'm messing with you a little bit. So the last thing he says here in this part of the text, he says, instead, will speak the truth in love. You run up on somebody that don't know the truth and they don't understand the truth, you don't beat them upside the head with a Bible, start quoting scripture at them and all that kind of stuff. Give them a chance to, like, know you a little bit. Maxwell says this, I don't speak to anybody about Jesus before I add value to their life. Show them you love them, because he says speaking the truth in love. And this phrase has been bumper stickered, and we really don't know what it means. It means truthing. It's literally like taking the gospel message and living it out and telling other people about it. Because I was brought up to, you got to speak the truth in everything. It's got to be book, chapter, and verse for all that you do. And we beat up other religions. That was kind of my mission. I got to beat up everybody else because we're right and they're wrong. And this a passage like this can do that. But he's saying the message that Paul preached over and over and over again was what? Jesus living and dying. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That was his message. That was the good news of Christ. That was what we used to call the core of the gospel. It's the center of what we try to teach people. And he says, truthing, telling people that story, living that out. He says, growing in every way, check it out, more and more like Christ. That's the discipleship series you're going to get. It's this idea of how do I want to live my life? I want to know everything that Jesus said and did, and I want to say all those things and do all those things. I want to be so much like him that a guy can walk by me in a concert and know who I am. Let me just say before you think that that meant me all the time, there's a lot of people in traffic that don't see Jesus in me sometimes. And I'm just being honest. I'm being forthright with you. I want you to understand that I haven't figured it all out, and you need to snap your fingers and get some Holy Spirit today so you can just have it all figured out. This is a process. It's just one step at a time, sweet Jesus. We used to sing it all the time. And it's moving forward in Him, speaking the truth in love, grow more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He's already said the body is one. How's it to have a body of two or three? The body is one. He says the church is the church. He makes the whole body fit together. I love that. Well fitting. We say it in Impact. We say it. The day you were born is important, but the day you find out why you're born is even more important, because you start finding out what your purposes are, why God has you here, what's going on. Back in 95, June 6th of 95, I had a motorcycle wreck. And long, long story short, I wound up 8 days in the hospital, double pulmonary embolus. And I did not know it. They weren't telling me this. They were telling Ellen that it's just day to day. And we don't know. We don't have a clue which way this is going to go. They didn't tell me that. Well, you know I'm still here, so I made it. But y'all waiting on the spoiler alert. But after it was all over, and I sat down with a doctor, he said, he was a believer, Felix Morris, a great, great respiratory guy in Florence. And he said, he said, I'm going to have to put you on some steroids to build you up. And I had just lost like 30 pounds, and I said, man, am I going to gain this weight back? He said, you probably will. But it'll be like water weight, right? I just have to just drink a lot of water and get rid of it, right? He said, no, you have to work to get it off. And I started crying, because that's my nature. I just started crying. I don't want to wait, man, whatever. He said, wait a minute. He took that big book where he'd been taking notes, you know, that big, massive book they put screws in the end of. Just, he's sitting down. He just said, he closed it. He said, dude, I suggest. He said, why are you crying? I said, man, I just lost a bunch of weight. I don't want to gain it back. He said, listen. He said, I suggest you find out what it is that God left you here for. Because he said, I'm going to tell you something. What you had, more people die from than don't. I experienced a miracle, y'all. And today I wouldn't have called it that. Oh, I got some stories I wish I could tell you. But it was a beautiful thing to say to me because, of course, then I thought, wait a minute, what? You mean I could have died from this? Because I didn't know all that. They weren't telling me that. And I saw I'm crying again. Well, really, thank you, Lord. You know, whatever. It's just crazy. I'm sorry. That's me. But listen, it was God had something more purposeful for me to do, and He left me here to do it. Now I get to see the fruit of all of that, and it's almost like everything is just kind of coming dovetail, fitting together. And can I tell you this, that everything between then and now hasn't always worked out like I want it to. It never will. This is a broken world, and if you think for one second that you're going to come to Jesus and everything's going to be in the South hunky-dory, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not. I wish I could tell you that, but I'll tell you this much. When you do get knocked down, you can automatically say, God's got me, no matter what. And you can walk in that faith. He makes the whole body fit together. Each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, everybody say the word healthy, healthy. Is healthy and say growing. I said this a few weeks ago, but here it is in the text. Do you want something that grows or you want something that's healthy? Well, you want it to be healthy, because if it's healthy, it's going to grow. So he's saying that if you walk all this back, what I see in this text is the unity of spirit. The unity of spirit and the bond of peace comes about because we are so grown up and mature in Christ that people can ask us anything, and we just have the answer, not because we have the answer, but because He does, that we won't listen to lies. We will not let lies come into our life. We will say, nope, that's not true. And even if you don't know it, you don't recognize it. If someone is standing off, way off, and they say, oh, there goes Liz, my wife. There goes Liz. And I look out there and I say, no, it ain't Liz. Well, who is it? Well, I don't know who it is, but no, it's not Liz. Sometimes there are things that you don't know what they are, but you know what they're not. And He's going to guide us through that. Why? Because we're taking every step we can to be in the full, mature, grown up, letting Christ be our standard, but not only our standard, but trying to attain to the fullness of Christ in us, y'all. I say those words, and I don't even really know how to express what that actually means. I just see through this whole text that there's this fullness I can have in life. And when I wake up like yesterday morning or a few mornings ago and I'm just lost. I don't know what to do. And the devil's whispering stuff, and I'm trying to figure things out, and I'm hurting, or I'm physically tired, or whatever those things are. I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ has me, and if I'm maturing toward Him and keep every day taking one more step at a time, just write you down a three-sentence prayer and start praying that and watch what God does. Just trust and believe and move forward. Do something so that you can be built up to equip others because of the authority of Christ and the oneness of God, and be united in the Spirit so you can be the humble person that God's called you to be. You can't do it. You can do it, period, but you can't do it without the Spirit. For us to try to live without Holy Spirit in our life, you might as well just, physically, it's like you have to have Him so much that you have to have air. I say it every morning, Lord, I can't take one step without You. I can't breathe without You. I cannot move without You. I cannot grow without You. I cannot. And hey, the truth is, that's built into all this with the apostles and prophets. Listen, we can't do it without each other. He didn't call us as a person. He called us as people. I want to call you today. Prayer team, come on down front. Everybody stand up with me. No, everybody sit down. No, I want you to stand up. Prayer team, come on up. Come on up. There's one more thing I want to do. Y'all go have a seat. Everybody have a seat. Don't get all tore up. We're going to get to lunch in a minute. I got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I want you to take 30 seconds, and I want you to look at the notes that you took. And if you didn't take any, I want you to pull your phone out or a notes page out, and I want you to write one thing that you took from what I said today. It didn't have to be anything that I actually said, but maybe something Holy Spirit put in your heart for today from this text, or from the music before, or from the fellowship before that. Y'all think for 1 minute that everything we do around here is at random? We do everything we can on purpose. Why? Because we want you to experience this. We want you to be a part of this. This isn't a game. This is eternity. So I want to ask you to do this. Write that down. Write that down. I was going to ask you to do something else, but I don't have time. But I want you to, sometime today, don't go home and turn on the TV and start watching whatever until you've done this. Okay, this is your assignment. I know it's Father's Day, but what more powerful could you around a table to say from your father? Say, hey, what Holy Spirit give you today at worship? You guys were in here with us. What did Holy Spirit give you? And Dad, if you do that, be ready for the answer, the question to come right back at you. What did the Holy Spirit tell you? It's been the most powerful thing for me today. And I hope and pray that God has spoken to your life. Now you can stand with me. Today, as you come to pray, here are a couple things to pray for. And you go ahead and start just listening to what I'm saying. You may have something personally you need to be praying about, something that's in your heart and you need to be praying about. I want you to pray about those things, but I want you to ask you a couple of questions. How are you seeking unity? How are you seeking unity in the church? How are you seeking unity in your home? How are you trying to bring things together instead of destroy them? What is it that you are doing or not doing that you should do in order to have the unifying spirit about you, that when you meet people, you find unity instead of division? When someone different from you walks up and they've got some of these cultural questions that we ask, they're asking, that they're trying to come up with different truths, how do you see those people? Having a spirit of unity, a bond of peace, it carries over to everybody, y'all. It's in the church. He's talking to the church here, but I'm feeling this spills over to the whole world. And then, other question is, how are you seeking maturity in your life? Love one another by Christ's authority that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And remember this, just take one step. Don't leave here today feeling beat up and guilty because you've never heard of Holy Spirit. That's okay. We're all growing and learning, or because you didn't hear some of these concepts. Or if you leave here today and go, man, that sermon was weird. He didn't have any like points. It's okay. I don't want you to leave here feeling anything except the concept that Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. Jesus wants to live in you. God the Father wants you to love like crazy. And we're going to invite Holy Spirit to come while we sing and while we praise Him. We continue to end this service. We pray, Father, right now, that a as people begin to come, Lord. And we worship you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We open our hearts to you, Father. Jesus, we love you. It's all about you, God. So we open ourselves up to you, Father.
Tasting.
Our tithes offering boxes are in the back there. Those are marked now, whatever. So if you guys are going to give, you can drop those in. Also, but you drop your cards in those boxes, we would appreciate it. Man, hang out a little bit. Let's get to know you. We love you. Appreciate you being here. Isn't God good? Come on, can we give God one more shout?
He's really good.